This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, back again. Shady's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. And I'm off the rest of the week until Father's Day. We'll be back on Tuesday of next week, and we got a lot to do over the next hour. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, General Manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call or head to bakerroofing.com for more information. You could also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. Pleased to welcome our next guest, Nate Ebner, who has done it all. He's played for a decade in the NFL. He's won 3 Super Bowls, and if that wasn't enough, he was a member of the United States national rugby team in the Olympics in 2016. He just came out with a book as well titled Finish Strong, A Father's Code and a Son's Path. And he's with us now. Nate, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man.
Appreciate the time. I know you're in the process, as I understand. I tried to find the timeline, how this all works, but in the process of trying to qualify for the Olympics again in rugby, how has that been going?
It's going. We're just grinding away, getting close here. Things are much different this time around. COVID has really put a damper on the tournaments that we typically would have been playing in leading up to the Olympics. So just a lot of inter-squad scrimmaging and just trying to find a way to get it done. But, we're grinding away every day.
30 people for 12 spots. When is the final call made on that Olympic team?
I think our last tournament's going to be in LA next weekend, and after that tournament, I would say just there shortly after, so right around July, maybe give or take a couple of days somewhere in there, then we'll probably end up.
Yeah, well, we certainly wish you the best of luck here coming down the home stretch heading towards the Olympics next month as we talk with Nate Ebner. He's one of 7 NFL players to participate in the Olympics, but he's the only to do it at the same time. You played for the Patriots, now a member of the Giants. How do you balance rugby and football, too, professional sports at once like that?
That's a good question. Honestly, they both require so much, at the highest level to do on their own. When I went in 2016, one of the things that I, told Bill was if I'm going to do this, I need to just be all in with this team all the way, and hopefully I can make it work. And, when it's over with, I'll come back and I'll be all in with the Patriots. And but in order for me to get everything out of myself for where I need to be to make this team, and not only just out of respect for the rugby guys, I need to give them everything that I have. So kind of go all in. With one team, and then when it's over with, come back to football with everything that I have. I'm fortunate that I spent so much time doing football. It's a little bit easier to come back to that sport. So kind of in a similar situation with the Giants right now, out here doing it, and when it's over, it's over, and then I'll be all in with the Giants and ready to take on another NFL season.
Yeah, it's great to obviously have the support of those franchises as well to allow you to do both. I know you grew up playing rugby. You didn't play football in high school, but then you played in college, and now you're in the NFL. So, what has led you down this path where not only the rugby and the Olympics, but also you're an NFL football player and have been so for a decade after having a walk-on in college?
Oh, that's a big question. Obviously, I've been a rugby player my entire life. Grew up with rugby, played on junior national teams and whatnot, for the USA, went to Ohio State, which is arguably one of the bigger football schools in the country, and didn't play football in high school like you mentioned. And I wanted to. My senior year, I chose not to, and my high school actually won the Division I state championship in Ohio that year, so that was bittersweet. But I think that it was a perfect storm for me to kind of look towards football. I was playing a sport that I was kind of at the end of the rope with in the United States. If I wanted to be a professional, I would have had to have left, and that wasn't really something I wanted to do. I was only a sophomore in college at the time. So I still had a couple more years left of college to go, and I didn't want to leave. I was kind of stuck playing club rugby at Ohio State, which, you know, wasn't like playing international, you know, junior World Cups. So that left a little bit there to be wanted for me. And then, like I said, you know, you're at a big football school. You're kind of like, hey, what would be the harm in then walking onto the football team? Let's give it a shot. And that's kind of where it all started. And that was actually one of the last conversations. It was the last conversation I had with my dad the day before he was attacked at the junkyard. And, you know, just there shortly died after. But, yeah, I mean, that was the beginning of it all, wanting to have that conversation with my dad about walking onto the football team at Ohio State. And that was the beginning of that journey.
Talking with Nate Ebner, who plays in the NFL and is also a member of the Olympic team in rugby, was part of the Olympics back in 2016. Yeah, you just mentioned that about your father. I'm sure this is, you know, a tough time, Father's Day coming up, to think back to that, to talk about it. But as you mentioned there in passing, you lost your father in a tragic way years ago. But it seems like you've been able to take that awful experience that hopefully, you know, nobody else has to ever go through, and you've tried to turn it into a positive since then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really a lot of what the book is about. You know, people ask me if you could sum up the book in one word or one sentence. I just say it's a great love story. It's essentially about a father-son relationship that's unmatched. And obviously, I like we've alluded to, I lose my dad in a way no one should lose anyone. And, you know, it's also about, you know, not having to have tragedy define who you are as a person and then the rest of your life. You have a say in how the rest of your life goes, even when something terrible happens to you. And it's just how you choose to face that. And that was hard for me. You know, I lost, you know, my foundation, my best friend, my rock in my life. I was spiritually broken. And, you know, my mom was a big part of me coming through to the other side. But ultimately, I wanted to live a life that he would be proud of. And, you know, he wouldn't have wanted to see my life be ruined because he wasn't there anymore. And, you know, that was something I had to wrap my mind around. I also had to wrap my mind around the fact that I was very lucky to have such a special dad, such a special father figure in my life for the 19 years that I had him. You know, those 19 years, he packed in more time with me than most people get in a lifetime. And, you know, I have friends who lost their dads, or their dads just walked out and on them and their lives. And I wonder what that would do to your psyche as a young kid, just your dad not wanting to be a part of your life. So I was so lucky to have such an amazing father. And that's really the angle and mindset I tried to take about the whole thing. And I've come to terms with it. No matter how bad you want to cry or think about it, it's not going to change the inevitable that he's gone. And, you know, I try to think of all the great things that, you know, have come to my life because of having him as a father, and they're endless. So I'm just very appreciative of who he was, and, you know, I try to take that with me as I go forward in everything that I do in my life.
Yeah, and I think it's a great message this time of year as we talk with Nate Ebner. You can check out his new book, Finish Strong, A Father's Code and a Son's Path. People driving around listening may not be familiar with the story. You obviously don't have to get into all the details, but we've referenced your father's passing. He was murdered at work, right, as I understand, when you were 19?
Yep.
Yeah, so...
That is correct.
So it was what, like a robbery situation? Is that what happened?
Yeah, essentially, you know, the tough part about that, you know, I talk about this in my book. You know, Springfield's kind of a rough place in Ohio. You know, we live, we worked in a junkyard. That's about as blue collar as it gets. And it was a rough place with some rough people. And, you know, some of our leisure activities would involve chasing robbers on weekends and weeknights. And that's we almost did it for sport because they were always there. And that was just kind of the life, you know, you got to deal with bad people. And, you know, unfortunately, some bad stuff happened to my dad. You know, that was the day after I had the conversation with him about walking on to the football team at Ohio State. And after having that conversation with him and then that happening, I kind of lost my way. But as I came back to it and with my mom's guidance and help and strength, you know, I think that became a promise that I wanted to keep to him, that, you know, we had spoken about walking on to the football team and trying to get to the NFL. And, you know, he passes just thereafter. That was a promise I wanted to keep. And so I worked extremely hard to make that come true. And, it was a tough time, but I'm lucky to, like I said, have my mom in my corner and to come out on the other side in a positive way.
Was there a certain message that your mom, you know, did deliver that helped you get back on that right track and move forward and accomplish all the things you have since?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk about that in the book. It's probably one of my favorite parts of the book because, you know, essentially most parents, especially, you know, most mothers in that situation would, and I've seen it with my friends, you know, the mom or whatever wants to, you know, they see their son, their baby crushed and hurt, and they lost their best friend and they're distraught and they just want to comfort them. And, you know, my mom saw me broken and she did what she needed to do, not what, you know, she wanted to do, and which was probably come give me a hug and tell me everything was going to be all right. But it wasn't. You know, she told me what she needed to say, and she was strong in saying that. And, you know, I saw her say it through tears, but she had the strength to do it and say, you know, Nate, you need to live a life that your dad would be proud of. He would hate to see your life be wasted because he was no longer here. And, you know, she could have said all the things to make me feel good, but she said what I needed to hear, and she was dead right. You know, knowing my dad, he would hate to see my life ruined just because he wasn't around. And you know, I do need to, all the things he taught me, I do need to go live a life that he would be proud of. And, you know, I was lucky to have him, like I just spoke about. So she really got me in the right frame of mind, you know, and I needed to get on with it and stop feeling sorry for myself because it wasn't getting me anywhere. You know, so that was a major turning point in my life before really I had done anything yet.
Just a couple last moments with Nate Ebner. Obviously, you've accomplished so much since then for your father to be proud of. For you, you know, was it playing at Ohio State? Was it making the NFL, winning a Super Bowl? I mean, winning three, playing in the Olympics. What's the moment for you in the past decade that something you accomplished that resonates the most for you with the relationship you had with your father?
I mean, that's tough. I don't know that there's any one thing in particular. I mean, the whole thing was a journey in a way. It was, you know, dedicated to him, and it was done through his strength. In a way, he was with me through it all. To try to pinpoint one specific thing, you know, in a way wouldn't be doing him justice. I mean, I think originally to how bad of a place I was in mentally and spiritually right after I lost him, and to push forward and still go through with walking on to that football team just a couple months after that, that I was proud of that, you know, looking back on that. You know, that was a huge, huge part of it all. But to go on and kind of make that promise come true and make it in the NFL like we had spoken about, I'm proud of that, you know. And the Super Bowls and stuff, obviously amazing. So proud and lucky to be a part of that. But, you know, that's the icing on the cake, if you will. But, you know, and then you can go to the rugby to be able to bring it back to, you know, us playing, you know, in the backyard with the rugby ball and then going to the Olympics. He would have loved that. He would have absolutely loved that. So it's all special. It's all been amazing. In a way, it's all been an honor to him. You know, as the title suggests, it's his code, a father's code. It's his ways and teachings that led me to have the mental fortitude and strength and the grit to withstand anything that came in my path and the rest of it, a son's path. I got to experience some amazing things because of all of that. So, yeah, I mean, it all honors him.
Well, he's Nate Ebner. You can find the book online wherever you get your books. Finish Strong, A Father's Code and A Son's Path. I wish we had more time because there's so much to talk about with Nate and everything he's accomplished. He's had a remarkable career. Nate, we appreciate the time. I wish you the best of luck with the rugby stuff here coming down the home stretch. And hopefully you're in the Olympics next month. Best of luck with football once you transition to that. And I'm sure it's not easy to talk about, but I appreciate you sharing your story and delivering good messages as we head towards Father's Day weekend. Appreciate the time from you.
Yeah, man, thanks so much. Have a great Father's Day weekend. Grab a book for your parents if you want. And, yeah, man, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate the time.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Best of luck to you. He's Nate Ebner. Appreciate the time from him. Check out his new book, Finish Strong, A Father's Code and A Son's Path. His father, unfortunately, was tragically murdered at work when Nate was 19. And as we talked about throughout that conversation, everything from that point on was, you know, to honor his father, to make his father proud, and boy, has he. I mean, what a remarkable career. Nate has won 3 Super Bowls in the NFL, and then he participated in, as if that wasn't enough, he was part of the rugby team in the 2016 Olympics, and he's now trying to qualify for the upcoming Olympics next month. He's one of 7 NFL players to participate in the Olympics, and he's the only to do it at the same time. You thought you had a good year? This dude was in the Olympics in 2016, came back to the Patriots afterwards, won a Super Bowl with them. Talk about quite the 6 months in the Olympics, winning a Super Bowl as well. So very impressive. And to overcome, right, the tragedy that everyone, you hope no one has to experience, losing your father in such a way and doing so when you're still a teenager. So appreciate the time from Nate talking about it. Some good messages as we head towards Father's Day weekend. All right, appreciate the time you have with your loved ones because nothing is ever promised. And you can find the book online, as Nate said. I gave you some ideas for Father's Day gifts earlier. Well, if your father's a reader, it's a good book for Father's Day. Finish Strong, A Father's Code and A Son's Path. You can find it anywhere online. All right, to try to transition out of that, appreciate the time from Nate. When we come back, speaking of football, Nate is a member of the New York Giants. After the Olympics is done with, he'll return to the Giants. When we come back, why we need to take it easy on Sam Darnold. And we'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, why we need to take it easy on Sam Darnold. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Let me tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Now they're a to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them at 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. You can even track your dry cleaning and see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. And mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and receive 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, easier than ever before now with their to-go service. Check them out. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Nate Ebner of the New York Giants, who is attempting to qualify once again for the national rugby team for the Olympics next month. The Olympics always seem so last minute, right? We're still trying to figure out which athletes are going to qualify. The Olympics start in about 5 weeks, and we'll see how that all goes. They're in still with this pandemic and everything and people from all other countries. But appreciate the time from Nate. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast or find those podcasts online at charlestonsportsradio.com just by clicking on our show page. Or through our new free app, just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And there you can listen to the show live and find the show on demand. The podcasts are available through the app. I'm glad I'll be able to, today's my final show of the week, be able to go spend some time with the family. I usually only get home about twice a year for Christmas and then some point in the summer. Right? And there's a wedding or, in this case, Father's Day, something I'm able to get up there for. So, you know, as Nate shared with his story, with his father passing away years ago, That's a nice message for this week. Appreciate your loved ones while they certainly are still part of your life. And I'm glad I can go see my family this weekend and celebrate Father's Day. By the way, so I'm a renter, right? I just got my an email about renewing the lease coming up in a few months. I never understood this. I've always said this about all businesses. Your cable providers are the same way. They give you great deals to bring you in, and then they jack up the prices on you every year. You would think for somebody who's been such a loyal customer, they'd want to help you out. But I saw in the paper the other day that now, post-pandemic, it is on average only $400 less to live in Charleston than New York City per month. So if you do that over 12 months, what's that, $5,000, something like that? So to live in New York City compared to Charleston, it only costs you about an extra $5,000 a year now. That's how expensive it's getting to live around here in Charleston. You can live in New York City for an extra $400 a month on average. Now, you know, the type of place it gets you in Charleston versus New York, that's different. But the average rent in Charleston compared to the average rent in New York City now after the pandemic, only a $400 difference per month. Crazy. Charleston is, of cities its size, one of the most expensive places to live. So we got that going for us here, especially after a pandemic. That's nice. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. We'll get to the Sam Darnold stuff in just a moment. But first, let's go to the phone. Somerville George is with us. Somerville George, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Luke. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you and listen to your show. We're going to miss you 2 days a week. I'm going to have to get used to it. We're bearing down the road.
Yes, I know. I appreciate the kind words. Appreciate you listening always.
Yeah, I want to say something about the illegal substance. That's always been on the books. You know, any time an umpire was at least bit suspicious, he could check them out. You know,
right?
And I'm wondering why they didn't do it. You know, like when the ball goes in the dirt, and they give it to the umpire. You know, if it's like 90% cheating, why the hell are these umpires anything illegal for now? Didn't hear.
Yes, I know it, and we're having a hard time hearing you, Somerville George, but I appreciate the call, and we get the gist of it, that this has been going on, and when it comes to this spider tack substance, that's been the main issue, and it's just gotten to the point now that Major League Baseball really has to enforce it, right? Like, there are certain rules or laws that you don't want to enforce by the letter of the law. You know, like jaywalking is one. How often do you, by the letter of the law, jaywalk? But, you know, nothing's going to happen because it's not a big deal. But when you get to the point now that pitchers, we believe about two-thirds of pitchers are using something they shouldn't, spin rates are at an all-time high, and therefore batting average is at an all-time low, when we know that's bad for the game, then Major League Baseball says, like, okay, we have to do something. Just like if downtown people, I mean, this does happen in cities, but if it got to the point that people were just walking out in the middle of the street, willy-nilly, right, and God forbid we're getting hit by cars or something, and the city's like, okay, we have to start enforcing this, that, you know, we have to discourage people just walking out in the street. They got to walk at the crosswalk because it's become a real problem. That's what has happened in baseball. It's something that it was in the books. They didn't really want to enforce it. It wasn't a huge deal. People always use something, but it didn't have a huge impact like we're now seeing, where almost the entire league is using something and offense is at an all-time low, and baseball wants more offense. So they're finally doing something about it. I mean, look at the data. It's all there. Trevor Bauer is the example I always use because it's so obvious. He had a career ERA over 4, and then suddenly last year his spin rates skyrocket. He has an ERA under 2. If it can make that big of a difference. And then, by the way, his last 3 starts, his spin rate has dropped. His ERA is over 6. He won the Cy Young last year. So if you can tell me that average pitchers can become the best pitchers in the league, then it's time to step up and do something about it. And baseball's finally doing that. And now it's on the umpires to have to be looking. And I think, as Somerville George said, like when the ball goes in the dirt or something like that, an umpire picks it up, any of the balls you get out of play, those are the easy ones. Look at them and see, like, what's going on? Because we have these stories of the substances clearly on there. You could see fingerprints. You could see, like, the seams ripping off the baseball because of how sticky the substance is that they're using. It's time they do something, and baseball is going to try to do so. On to the Sam Darnold stuff. Today is the final day of Panthers minicamp. I saw a lot of tweets yesterday about Sam Darnold's performance. This one, for example, from I think it's Will Palaszczuk, something like that. He used to be on our airwaves, actually, at one point. He works in the media in the area. He tweeted out yesterday, "Sam Darnold hasn't been sharp early, folks," was a tweet he had. Another one from Will yesterday was that Darnold's pass is tipped at the line and picked off. Then he airmailed a wide-open Zylstra. He had another tweet today that said, day two for Sam Darnold. Very uneven to start. Lots of checkdowns. It's practice. It's June 16th. And Will's not the only one. I don't mean to call him out, but he was just the tweets that I saw, and then I saw a bunch of other ones. It's June 16th. It's a new system, a new city, new teammates. The season is still 3 months away. I take nothing from these practices. Absolutely zero. CBS Sports just did a skit about this on Twitter. You can find it online about how the media, the local media, will overreact to practices in June. They'll call somebody a Hall of Famer based off of a good practice, and then he has a bad practice, and they say, he's a bust. He shouldn't be in the league. It's practice. Imagine if you were judged on your practice, right? Let's say you have a big presentation tomorrow at work, or maybe in school, if you're still a student, or back when you were a student. And the night before, you're practicing in the mirror with your index cards. We've all been there. You're reciting. I remember when I used to have to, I took speech class in high school, and you had to hit a certain, your speech had to be at least 8 minutes long, let's say, right? So you're timing yourself, and you're giving your speech, and you always talk faster, like in the mirror, and you're looking down, and I'm only at 6 minutes, right? You're timing yourself. You're trying to pace. You're trying to make sure it's long enough. You're practicing. You don't want to be reading off the note cards. You want to have your speech memorized. Imagine if your teacher or your boss was in your bedroom with you. That would be weird. But if they're in your bedroom with you while you're practicing, or your client for your big presentation tomorrow, the one you're presenting to, your client is sitting in there in your apartment the night before as you practice, and they're judging you off of that practice, and they say, not good enough. The deal's off. Or your boss says, you know what? This wasn't very impressive. And I don't know if you should still work here anymore. You don't seem to have it. This was not a very good presentation. You say, I'm practicing. This isn't the real deal. Wait till tomorrow. Or if you're studying for a test and your teacher is there, right, in the library with you, and they're seeing how well you know the material as you're still studying. That's the whole point of studying. You probably don't know the material that great. But they're sitting there grading you on how well you know the material as you study off the study guide and say, that's going to be your grade on the test. It's practice. Right? What if we said, Kevin Durant didn't have a great shoot around today. He sucks. He's in trouble this year. He's going to have a bad year. He didn't have a great practice today. Okay. It's practice. Who cares? Right? In the words of Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice. The idea of practice is to be ready for the games. The idea of practice is to be better in the games. Let's give it some time. The season doesn't start for 3 months. It's mini camp. It's not even training camp. It's mini camp. New team, new teammates, new city, new offense. Season 3 months away, and I'm seeing all these tweets, and again, Will's not the only one. That was just the easiest one to use as an example. I'm seeing other media members in Charlotte. Sam Darnold doesn't look too good today. That's the whole point of practice, so that he'll look better in the games. Give it some time. Offensive coordinator Joe Brady said that Darnold's youth and experience was extremely enticing to us, right? Because you can mold him, because he's still so young. It's why companies a lot of times will like to hire the young kid out of college who has no bad habits. Yeah, sure, they're cheaper as well, but they have no bad habits. You can mold them. You can make them the perfect employee for you. They could do it your way, the Johnson way, whatever company it is. Whereas you hire somebody who's been in the business for 20 years, they like to do it their way. Maybe different than your way. Maybe they have some bad habits, some things that you don't like. That's the great thing about Sam Darnold. You're not getting a quarterback who's been around for over 10 years. You're not getting an Andy Dalton and hoping that he can fit in. You're getting a Sam Darnold that he's still young enough. He can be molded. He can be manipulated in a good way. You can adjust it. You can coach him up. You can improve him. And here's the other thing about Sam Darnold. He's only 23. So not only imagine if you were judged off your practice instead of your actual performance, but also imagine if your final impression, the final impression of you as a professional, was made when you were 23 or 24, whatever Darnold is. He's been in the league for 3 years. Now let's have some patience with him. He's young. He's still raw. He's with a new team, new roster, new coaches, new city, new playbook. It took Tom Brady until Thanksgiving last year to look comfortable in Tampa Bay. It's going to take some time. We can't be judging off of mini camp in June. By the way, his now teammate again, Robbie Anderson, who was with him in New York, said about Sam Darnold, "When I walked in the building, I could see a new energy out of him, like a glow, charisma that I didn't see in New York. I can definitely see the difference in him so far." That's what Robbie Anderson said. Right? Because, of course, sometimes new starts are all you need. That's what helps, especially when those new starts are in Charlotte instead of New York City. That could help as well. I liked the Sam Darnold trade. I still have, I don't know if I would say high expectations, but I have decent expectations for him. I think he'll play well. I think the Panthers will have a pretty good year. But I'm certainly not going to jump to any conclusions from minicamp. Not even training camp. Minicamp. Where not the entire team's there and you're in shorts and it's called mini for a reason. It's shorter. It's only a couple of days. It's not all day long. They're not doing anything like two-a-days, although that's not allowed anymore anyways. Right? It's minicamp in June. They still have training camp. They still have the offseason, or I should say the preseason. Then we just get to the regular season, which is still 3 months away, and we're judging them. Oh, it doesn't look very sharp today. Okay. Right? Like Tua threw 5 interceptions in practice yesterday. And I saw a lot of stories. Oh, boy. Dolphins should be worried. Tua threw 5 interceptions. And the Dolphins said, well, Tua was trying to be more aggressive than usual. Because that's what you do in practice. You work on some things. You don't care about the results. You're working on things. You're practicing certain things. It's practice. When do we start judging? Are we going to start giving wins and losses based off of practices? I don't care what he does this month. I don't care what he does next month. I don't care what he does in the preseason. Come week one in September, you hope he's ready to go and he plays well. That's all I care about. Oh, no, he had a bad practice today? Oh, boy. All right, I'll prep for this show. Sometimes I feel like, my prep didn't go very well. I don't have very good metaphors. And then, you wing it on the show, it goes pretty well, and you think, oh, that was better than I thought. Good thing I wasn't judged by my practice. Good thing my practice wasn't on air, because that would have been terrible. And I don't actually practice. I don't sit there and read lines, but I just come up with my thoughts and my different scenarios and metaphors and topics. There's a reason why we're all judged by the performance and not the practice. Should be the same way with NFL quarterbacks. All right, Somerville George is back with us with a better connection. Let's try to check back in. Somerville George, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, I'll speak a little louder and then try to keep it shorter.
We got you.
Yeah, the hubbub about the stuff on the baseball. Why haven't we seen an umpire go to the mound, halfway through the season, They get to inspect the balls before the game and during the game, I just can't believe they're now going, oh, wait a minute, something's going on here,
Yeah, well,
I don't know. Does baseball have such a powerful union that they're afraid to even speak up?
I do think that's part of it. I mean, consider that we had the Astros cheat in the World Series. No punishment there whatsoever for the players. Here, at least, there's going to be a 10-game suspension. I think that's part of it. I think another part is the umpires themselves either don't want to be bothered or don't want to put themselves in the middle of that, or because so rampant that you open up Pandora's box, you go out to talk to one pitcher, it's like, well, all the other pitchers are doing it too. How do we clean this up? So I think it's important for the league themselves to put something on the books, and they've done that now. They've sent out the memo. They've delivered the punishment. Here's what's going to happen. Now there are no more excuses for the pitchers, for the umpires. We have a plan to move forward to try to eliminate this, and I just wish baseball did it earlier than midway through this season.
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving me the heads up. I'll be listening to the Braves game on the radio.
I appreciate you, Somerville George, and appreciate you listening as always. Glad we could get a better connection there. Yeah, Monday, it all begins, and the Braves are the very first game against the Mets. It's a doubleheader, so it begins at 5 o'clock, and the Mets will be on the mound first, so Jacob DeGrom will be the first pitcher checked. Of course, of all pitchers, right? The best pitcher in the game right now. And then the Braves, whoever will be starting Monday in Game 1, they'll be checked. When they come out in the field, they'll be checked throughout the game. So if you're a Braves fan, you have that going for you. You'll be the first team involved in all of this come Monday. And by the way, that's the series of the year for the Braves. Worst case scenario, you lose all 4 games, you're done. Trade off pieces. Pack it in. If you lose even 3 out of 4 games, right, then you're going to be down close to double digits. If you split the series, I mean, the Braves right now are 6.5 games behind the Mets, and the Mets are playing good baseball now. They're getting healthier. The Braves are not. Right now, they're 6.5 games back. They play 4 games with the Mets starting on Monday. They have the Red Sox tonight. They have a weekend series with the Cardinals, then they get the Mets for 4. That's going to be huge. I know we're still only in June, but by the end of next week, we're just about in July, and depending on what happens, if the Braves, say, make up no ground, if they continue to be 6.5 back and they go into that series with the Mets, and say the Mets win 3 out of 4 at home with DeGrom pitching in one of those games, now you'd be looking at an 8.5 game deficit in just about July. So I think next week is the season for the Braves, and they're in a stretch right now of something like 14 games in 13 days. That's not easy either. So not only that, not only is it a huge series against the Mets next week, but also it's a case of they're going to start checking pitchers. We'll see how that goes starting on Monday. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Are you stuck in your current position with no room to grow? Are you underpaid, undervalued, maybe overworked? Maybe you just need a new job. If so, call Carney & Son, 72 Degrees Air Conditioning and Heating. They're local and family-owned, and they value family time and have done so for over 37 years. Carney & Son believes you should earn while you learn, and they have training programs to get you where you want to be in your career today. Carney & Son, 72 Degrees Air Conditioning and Heating, is now hiring all full-time positions. Optional four-day work week. Sounds like what I've been doing around here lately. Benefits include insurance, 401k, paid time off, vacation, and a signing bonus up to $5,000. Call Carney & Son, 72 Degrees, and start taking your career to new heights while still having time for the most important thing, your family. Call them today, 843-762-4304, Carney & Son, 72 Degrees, Air Conditioning and Heating. In unsurprising news, LaMelo Ball was named Rookie of the Year for the NBA of the Charlotte Hornets. We talked a lot about LaMelo throughout the season. No surprise there, he was the best rookie this season. You can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500. Back to the phones we go. Rodney is with us. Rodney, what's going on?
The topic that you had gotten on before as far as how people criticize things as far as that whatever level of media they may be, Stuart Scott with ESPN, when he hosted that show that ESPN had a while ago where they were having people have a chance to be a ESPN employee, I can't remember the exact name it was, and Stuart was going over a situation where he was telling the person how to cover it, but actually it was the same thing you were saying. It was making, I don't know if it was a mountain out of a molehill, but he was pretty much saying, yeah, we do it, but this is how you do it and why you do it. So to me, if they're having professors teach you how to do that thing, it's pretty much like giving somebody who's irresponsible the knowledge how to create something, and then they go out, now they have the ability to use it, but they may use it irresponsible. So look like to me it's just going to be an endless loop that we have to deal with. The more media access that people have, you're going to have somebody who's not necessarily going to be responsible, and they just say what they want to say just to make headlines, so to speak. And in this day and age, I guess that's clicks and tweets and all that type of thing. So to me, I guess blood boil, to describe it. I don't know how you feel about that, but I had one other real quick take if you had a moment.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing in the sports industry now. I've talked about it before. A lot of people will just say something for attention. It's this hot take nature. I think it's a lazy style, and it's not really my style. Anything I say, I truly believe, and I'd rather just try to be more creative or work harder than throw nonsense against the wall and hope something sticks or gets attention. And it's an unfortunate thing that many people and successful people have done in this industry here in the past decade.
Right. The thing I was trying to remember, were the Rays playing tonight against Greenville, or was game one last night?
Good question. I'm not even sure.
I think it's tonight, but I know they're playing up in Greenville since the way they entered. I just remember back when hockey first came to the Carolinas, you had the Stingray for the first, and then it was Columbia, Greenville, and Florence area. And now the two, Columbia and Florence, have ceased, and Greenville and Charleston are the only ones that are still kicking, so it's ironic that they get the play in the playoffs again against each other.
Yeah, certainly. And best of luck. Appreciate the call, Ronnie. Best of luck to the Stingrays. They play tonight with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, and hopefully they can keep it going. Even if they can't play in their own arena, hopefully the Stingrays go all the way to the championship. Hoist that championship trophy in your local skating rink.
We want the Raleigh Cup back.
That's right. Bring it back. Bring it back to the North Charleston ice rink that you went to for your buddy's 13th birthday party, whatever.
Which is actually their practice facility.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's not too bad. Best of luck to the Stingrays against those damn Swamp Rabbits of Greenville. We'll wrap up your Wednesday when we come back, my final segment of the week, and we'll end on this. We saw something historic last night. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
fun, a funky finish to your Wednesday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or now through our free app. Just download our app by searching ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Appreciate listeners hanging out from at least 7 different states today and multiple countries on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm heading out of town for the rest of the week. I'll be back on Tuesday, but I won't be with you for the next couple of days. So before we go, let's wrap up with where we started today by stating the fact we saw something really special last night in Kevin Durant. And I made the case that Kevin Durant is the greatest scorer we've ever had in the NBA. Not in terms of performance. I'm not comparing numbers. I'm not even talking about maybe the biggest moment. If you need a bucket, I think I'm still going Michael Jordan over Kevin Durant. But if you were building the perfect basketball player, you would build exactly Kevin Durant. To have the size, the athleticism, the length of a center at 7 foot. Former teammates have said Durant is really like 7'1". He just likes to pretend he's shorter so he could play out on the perimeter. But to have that size of a center, the shooting of a shooting guard, and yet the handles and athleticism and perimeter game of a point guard, Kevin Durant is the ultimate scorer. He can score every which way possible. Turnarounds, pull-ups, off-screens, three-pointers. He can get to the rim. He can back you down. He can slash. He can do it all. He's the perfect NBA type of player from an offensive standpoint. And what he did last night was remarkable. And I think Brooklyn continues on to win this series. And I still think Brooklyn wins the championship this year. Like I've been saying for months, I think Durant is that good. Yep, it is the weekend for me. Hope you have a great rest of your week. I'll be back on Tuesday. Life is a series for hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again Tuesday, starting at noon, when I return from my little mini vacation. Have a great Father's Day weekend. Enjoy all the sports. We'll be back on Tuesday to break it all down. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.